to divide us, to separate us, while God seeks to unite us, to bring us together. So we need to certainly test things and find out what the purpose of these things are, to know if either we are being supported by God or we're being challenged by the evil of the world. Now today we're going to look at 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, and this is a scripture that Paul was written to his young colleague Timothy. Now of course we know Timothy is a third generation Christian. His grandmother, his mother, now him. He represents the way that most in the church come to Christ. We come through our family, attending as children. Though, of course, we know that Paul, who was Saul, he was a first-generation Christian in that he had a Damascus Road conversion experience. So you have these two perspectives of the Christian faith, one being one that's organic and it grows and we're part of a legacy of faith, and the other being an instantaneous conversion, a change that happens to sinners when they come to realize the only salvation is through Christ. So Paul is writing this to help Timothy understand what this Christian journey is about. And the scripture is found in the 4th chapter, starting at the 6th verse. It says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. In the scripture, Paul is showing us his heart. He's showing us his vulnerabilities of being a man of God. He makes it very clear that the call, the Christian call, what I call the Christ call, is one that is indeed, it's a trying call, in that at times we're being poured out like a drink offering. It's hard being a believer in a world that does not believe. It requires us to have hope when others are hopeless. It requires us to see light when others only see darkness. It makes us see the things of God instead of the things of man. So being a person who sees in these ways, what Paul is saying to young Timothy is, I have been poured out like a drink offering and the end is near. Now that sounds pretty dramatic. I've come to realize younger generations have this thing about drama. I don't know what it is. they're saying you're being dramatic. Preachers are naturally dramatic. We can take the littlest of things and make them into something very big. We can take the littlest of ideas. Like Brad came up to me this morning and he said that we have it's a rebel tomato plant. Is that what it's called, Brad? Is it a rebel? It's a rebel tomato plant right here at the end of the fellowship hall. There is a singular tomato plant that has been cast out before whatever reason. The seed was thrown there and it's growing by itself, producing tomatoes. So if you'd like tomatoes with some salt after church, you just go right over there and pick you one. See how I took a simple tomato plant and I made it dramatic, where it's like something like it's a miracle. We're looking at a miracle here. This tomato plant that's growing by itself. It's not in a garden. It's by itself. Yet it's here at the church, and how wonderful it is. Now, it's very helpful at times to be dramatic, especially when you get maybe an insurance adjuster come and you tell him the water, it came in waves and it came into our church. And it really did. Understand, we had a lot of water come in. It maybe helps us to get a better adjustment. Now, Paul isn't being dramatic. He's being realistic. He's saying, I'm tired. I'm just poured out like a drink offering, Timothy. You wouldn't believe what's going on. The world is out to get me, and these church people, they just don't know what they're doing at times, and I'm trying to get, you know, the church at Corinth straight and the church at Galatia straight, and every time I turn around, they got another problem, and they're sending me a letter. And by the way, I've been in prison, you know, and I've been attacked, and I've been run out of town. And he's saying, I'm tired. He says, I'm poured out like a drink offering. And then he says, and I'm just going to tell you, and he pulls a Fred Sanford. How many love Sanford and Son? I love Sanford and Son. I tell you, you know, Lamont became a preacher there in Los Angeles. I don't know if you know that. He didn't continue his acting career. The Son, he became a preacher. And see old Fred every now and then, he said he's going to see Elizabeth. He said, I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming, you know. And so Paul pulls Fred Sanford here on Timothy and says, and my departure is near. I want you to know that my parents, both of them blessedly with the Lord right now, my parents, especially my daddy, he would tell me his time was near. Even when he was 50 years old, he'd come in the house and say, children, my time is near. I grew up hearing that his time was near. See, Paul is saying that my time is near, my departure is near. And then he gets down to really what he's trying to say. He gets past the drama and he gets to the truth, because within every drama there's always a piece of truth. And what he gets to is, he says, I have fought the good fight. Now what I'm talking about is a race. See, the first slide you're going to see here, the race that is there is about now. See, fighting the good fight. What's going on right now? Now, there's attempts by the church throughout its history to reorder words and to take words that it considers negative out of the lexicon or the language of the church. And we're now currently in a spell that we think that we got to take fighting out because fighting is bad. Every day we fight. At every level of life, the world, the universe is in a constant state of flux, of fighting, of things that are just conflicting. Paul is saying that I have fought the good fight. What makes a fight a good fight is that if it's a fight for the Lord. That's what he's saying. I have fought the good fight. I have swam upstream against the current, going into places that do not want to have hope, and I have offered hope. I've gone into places that only have death, and I bring life. He's saying, I have fought the good fight. I have been swimming against the tide, he's saying. I have fought the good fight. He's talking about what's going on right now. He's talking about what's going on right now in his life. And he then says, I have finished the race. And he's looking forward now to when the time will come when he will let go and he will let God. He says, and I have kept the faith. Now, keeping the faith, you would think that something so valuable could not be lost. But the truth is, people are losing faith each and every day. They're losing faith in the things that they hold dear. They're losing faith in what they believe in. In fact, I would dare say our nation is losing faith right now. We don't have faith anymore. I do believe Mickey Mouse could win an election this year if Mickey Mouse ran. We just don't believe in things anymore. For some reason, we started giving up on things. We're like that team that's down, and we just go in the locker room and we're down. And I remember we were being beat by South Johnson so bad, and it was terrible. And I was sitting there in halftime, and I had my head down too because we were being beat bad. And then Coach Farrell comes in, and he grabs my towel. I don't know why he picked on me, but he grabs my towel, and he throws it at me and says, "What's wrong with you boys?" And he gives a speech. And it was a great speech. Now, I heard that Brad had a great speech yesterday, and his team, it just ran all over the team from Kerry. Well, Coach Farrell gave a speech, and we were ready to come out of that locker room and take on the giants of the world. We were being beat bad, but we were excited, and we busted out of that locker room at Harnett Central, and we ran back on the field against South Johnson, and they commenced to beat us even worse. But the point is, that was a great speech. And for that moment, I had hope. until they ran the ball back on the opening kickoff of the second half. See, for that moment, I was able to see something. See, I was able to know this fight is something I can possibly win. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Because the truth is in the current state, no matter how many steps we take forward, we're going to be like a man climbing a crumbling hill. I read a poem about that years ago. Having lived on the Outer Banks, you know, and lived in Morehead City as a boy, we used to go over and play on the sand dunes, and I've told you about that. For every two steps you take, you slide back one. Isn't that life? Every time you get an advantage, you get a little bit more. It's like you slide back. It's the nature of things. It's where we keep having this gravity of sin that's pulling us down while we're trying to get ourselves up. In fact, young people, listen, there will come a day that you'll find an equilibrium. You'll find a point that you're pushing forward. It's somehow meeting your sliding back. And I say that's the time you press the hardest. That's the time that you find the inner core. That's the time you remember what the cheerleaders put on. So the locker, who can ask more of a man than giving all within his span? Giving all, it seems to me, is not so far from victory. They put a little thing on my locker. I saw it and memorized it. I said, this is great. I said, this is going to help me. And all through my life, I've always remembered that simple quote of fighting the good fight, of running the race, of keeping the faith. See, these are the things that God is giving us now where we can meet the challenge. In other words, there's no challenge beyond our capacity when God is on our side. No matter if it be cancer, or if it be sorrow, or if it be loss, or if it be the crisis of life. No matter what, our God is big enough. Our God is big enough to even turn the tide of a nation that is seemingly losing its very soul. I wasn't going to tell the story, but I'll tell the story. Leona, you won't mind. I hope not. If you do, she can get me later. As you know, we had our fall festival, our harvest sale, and we had the events take place at the harvest sale and had a certain visitor who was not welcome who come by, and this visitor broke into a car and stole, not only a purse, but this visitor certainly just violated a sacred trust, in my opinion. And so when the word had finally filtered to me, I was sitting on the little ATV down there, and somebody said, somebody's broken into a car, and somebody said, preacher, you ought to check the house. I was standing there talking to the man who was the auctioneer. He's a big talker. He can out-talk me. And he was talking up a storm. And somebody said, preacher, you better check your parsonage. They may have broke into that. And I want you to know Leona was standing there too. And Leona took off running. She did. And she started running. And so the auctioneer said, I'll go with her. And he run behind her. And so he's running and she's running. And I'm grabbing Ned and I'm taking off into ATV. And I couldn't even beat them because they were already going up the hill. And I thought I could hear the auctioneer going, and I got up there and they were already up there. Sweat was pouring everywhere. I'm sitting there with a cold drink and the ATV going, is everything okay? Oh, nothing. Nobody's messed with anything. Even the auctioneer, he was winded. See, in life, no matter just when you think it's supposed to be a certain way, something comes along and causes an obstacle, causes just a challenge, and you find yourself having to run up the hill being chased by an auctioneer who's trying to bid away your life. See, I told you, preachers can make the littlest things very dramatic. It's what we do. And that image will stay with you quite a while because I've been laughing about it for 2 weeks now. See, Paul is saying to young Timothy, there's going to be times that you're going to be challenged. Times that you're going to have something happen. And so you've got to do what God would have you do. You've got to rescue. You've got to reach out, he's saying. And he's saying that's what's going on right now. Now let's look at what happens when you reach the conclusion, when the departure is near. And he said, "Here I have kept the faith, for there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Now we deal with the prize. What is the prize? Well, we look at life and say, what is the prize? Is a family the prize? Is a career the prize? Is wealth the prize? Is contentment the prize? What is the prize of life? What is the purpose of living? We get up every day, and every day we die a little bit more. Our brain cells start to go. Our body starts to go. It seems like we can't catch up. Just when we start to think we are, we're not. There comes that point, young people, you'll look in the mirror and you'll see one of your parents. I remember today, I looked in the mirror and said, "Oh my Lord, there's my dad." But then I felt good about it, because he was a somewhat handsome man on occasion. I'm joking about that. See, there comes to be that point where we realize there's something greater. I mean, that poor tomato plant out there, what is its prize? It's going to produce, it's got fruit, some of you are going to take some home and eat it, I have hope for, to help it reach its goal of life. But what's this prize? Is going to die, winter is coming, it got cold last night, the seasons are changing. What's the purpose of living? Well, the purpose of living, Paul was saying, is that the righteous judge will award to me on that day, and he calls it a crown of righteousness. Now, you got to understand what that means, this crown of righteousness. It's not a shiny gold thing. That's what people of the earth think. That's what people who are temporal think. They're thinking it's about jewels and it's about gold. We got to realize what he's really giving us. He's giving us a crown, which means that we are indeed lifted to a higher level. And it's not a crown of wealth. It's a crown of righteousness, that we are the children of the living God. He's describing for us what our ultimate purpose is. See, things of this world live and they die. Live and they die. They grow up, they die, they become the particles. In fact, we're even stardust. I was a young boy. I have an uncle who's a college professor. He's a psychology professor. He's kind of weird. Always thinking and everything and aggravating the life out of me. He used to go tell me to go play in the freeway when I was a boy, and I didn't know what that meant. I think that meant he didn't want me around. He said, "Go play in the freeway." So why would I want to play in the freeway? I was a little boy, and he said, "You know, all you are is stardust. That's all you are, just stardust." I said, "No, I'm not." And I put my hands on my hips and I said, "I'm not stardust. I'm a child of God." He said, "Oh, you are just stardust. The star blew up a long time ago. You just happen to be the atoms of that star just come together." And I said, "It must have been a nice star, because I'm somebody." So he was always telling me that I was nobody. And I don't know if he was just playing with my mind, testing me. I don't know. He's a psychology type guy. But I do know that it helped me to form who I am. I do realize every time I encountered him, I knew there would be a fight of some sort where he was trying to persuade me, and then I would have to make a stand and choose a better way. See, God gives us this ability to go beyond just this living and dying. Our destination is not the grave. The grave is just a portal, it's a passageway, it's a transition point. Our destination is heaven. Our destination is heaven. And our destination is with our Father in heaven. Because there will come a day in your faith, you will look in the mirror and you won't see your earthly father, you'll see your heavenly father. There'll come a day in your faith when you end up beaming the very light of Jesus Christ through you, and you realize who you are and whose you are. See, that's the crown of righteousness, when you are covered from your head to your toes with the holy, almighty power of the living and sustaining God. See, the prize is coming. And every now and then, he gives us, he adorns us through grace, the ability to rise above the darkness, rise above the despair, rise above the corruption, rise above the chaos. And he gives us a greater purpose in life. And we know we're supposed to be in this place. We know we're meant to dwell in heaven. We know this earth is not our home. And we know we belong to him. We know he's our Father. And we know the faith is real. No matter what the world says, no matter what it tries to do, no matter how it tries to break us, God is remaking us for something greater. I'm somebody, is what the Christian screams. I'm somebody. I'm not just another number. I'm not just another person. You can't just wheel me in a side room and forget about me at the hospital. You can't forget about me in the rest home. I'm somebody. I'm not just a widow who's lonely in a home. I'm a child of God whose Father loves me, loves her. I am somebody. And the church has a reason and a purpose to proclaim that to a people who are being beaten down every single day. And I tell you, I'm tired of the world beating down people. I don't believe in classism and people being higher than another person. I got problems with that. Because they all wretched sinners in my eyes. I'm not going to cower and I'm not going to bow down to no earthly person. No king is going to make me bow down. You may say that's my southernness and that's my rebel nature. Maybe I'm that tomato plant growing by itself. But I tell you, I'm not by myself. I'm in a garden of righteousness and I'm growing along with you, getting ready for the harvest to come, because the Lord is going to make the harvest. And when he comes, he's going to bring us home, and he's going to take those that do not belong, and he's going to cast them into the fire. See, Paul is saying to Timothy that this prize is worth the battle. This prize is worth everything. And then he describes to him how we do it. And I love this next part, that he gives us here the way to do it. The way is, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. See, I believe, now me and my father used to have this argument. I have some Presbyterian ways about me. Some of the ones that are Presbyterian. I have some Presbyterian ways that I think God has everything figured out. There's an order. There's a divine purpose. There's a preferred path. Now, I'm Methodist in that I believe in free will, and I believe we have a choice. But I think God has already played out all our choices. And no matter what choice we make, he's still got a way for us to get back home. He wants us to get back home. So I believe that there's a destiny that we're called to. My father said, no, there's not a destiny, that you live your life, you make your choices, you have to live with the consequences. And I said, but Dad, God is great enough that he's able to meet me even when I go down that path I shouldn't go. Even when I end up in that place I'm not supposed to be. My God is greater. And he said, Jerome, but understand, you must be accountable for your choices, he used to tell me. So we had this argument for years. It was a discussion theologically. Perhaps he was telling me to play in the freeway. I do not know. I must have been a test subject for these high-minded men and their ideas of enlightenment. But it worked, because it made me think a lot. And I used to sit down and just have a good think every now and then. You ever had a good think? Nothing like a good think. Every now and then, just sit down and have a good think. You can tell the teacher that I'm having a think. I've got to, you give me a minute. And teachers are courteous. They'll say, have your think. Then do your work. Give me that homework. See, I think we all need a good think. Especially before this election. We need to think a little bit, you know. We need to think about what's the big plan. What's God doing? Well, how can this happen? How can we use humanity in its fallenness and its brokenness? And when did victory become about beating the other person down instead of lifting up what we believe in? Sisters and brothers, that would be a sad church if all preacher did was beat people down. I don't do that. What's the purpose of doing that? I'm Coach Farrell. Come on, boys, we can do it. We can win. We can do it. Get out there. Get on the field. Hit the other team. See, I believe we're going to win. I believe we can do it. Because this way tells me I'm not alone in this. I'm not a lonely tomato plant. That God is on my side. He's standing right here. Now you may be saying, well, okay, I accept that. My faith is strong. No, God is on your side. Did he not promise us a counselor, the Holy Spirit? Have you wondered why you took that step to the left when the step to the right would have led to your demise? Have you ever wondered why you're here even now in this place when there's a whole nother bunch of times that would have made it where you wouldn't be here? See, the Spirit's been here the whole time. Church doesn't accept that or acknowledge that the way it should. The church struggles with that because we believe somehow we're charting our own destiny. And I'm telling you, we're not. God is guiding us. The winds of his creation are blowing us. We are being directed by his course to a greater purpose. His wind is filling up our sails, and we're just like that sailboat, that ocean, this vessel, we're being pushed to where God is going to have us go. See, the Lord stood at my side, he said, and he gave me strength. Strength is what we need. Strength is the ability to do what others think cannot be done, so that through me, Paul says, the message might be fully proclaimed. And it is being fully proclaimed, because here stands a Gentile preaching to Gentiles about a God who is saving the Gentiles. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth, he so proclaims. Now the lion here, of course, is referring to the Roman Empire. It's referring to the lion being the ruler. And Paul is saying that I have been delivered from the rulers of the earth because I serve the greater ruler God. See, that is indeed the gospel that he is preaching, that this way is a way of salvation. I was delivered. Now what happens when we reach a point where it all breaks down? You ever had that happen? I was in a driving rainstorm in Asheville, North Carolina. I was driving an old Chevrolet. It was an SUV, I think like a Blazer. And for some reason, the back door wasn't closed. And I went around, I pulled off the interstate there in Asheville. And I went around and I started playing with the switches. And somehow I hit the safety lock for the child. And you know how that would, on the old vehicles, it would make the lock pop out. And I couldn't close the door. And I'm standing there and all that traffic of 40 is coming by. And I'm trying to close the door. And then I figure I'll go around and look at the other door to figure out how it works. And lo and behold, I mess it up too. So I got two doors now stuck open on interstate. And by the way, my windshield wipers had stopped working because for some reason, something had caused my electronics to mess up. And so I'm in a driving rainstorm with two doors at the back that are open and in a windshield wiper. And I'm riding down the road with my head out the window. And I'm thinking to myself, this is really stupid. This is bad. How did you get yourself into this, Jerome? What is going on? Or what is wrong with you? Which side did you take after to be in this position? You know, because every family always has an argument about which side actually created the genetic in ways. It's your mama's side. It's your daddy's side. Well, we all know it's our side. It's both sides. We're all corrupt. We're all broken. We all make mistakes. And so here I am trying to get to just a station so I can get underneath something so I won't be so wet. And I can get out there and figure out how this safety lock that stops children from opening doors, it stopped me. And I finally got there, and I pulled over, and I finally got the doors fixed. I couldn't make the windshield wipers work, so I ran in, and I got some Rain-X, and I sprayed it all over the windshield. And I want you to know, it doesn't work when it's wet. It just doesn't. So I rode the rest of that trip with my head out the window on the interstate. And I realized that I'm not that smart. I realize I need a smart God to help me through this. See, we're not that smart. This postmodern man thinks it's smart, you know. We think we're smart. We got doctors who think they're very smart. They can cure anything, solve anything. Oh, they can do a lot. But the truth is, we're not that smart. We haven't developed to heavenly realms yet. But God is working on us. Now, some of us are very smart. Thanks be to God that some of us has wisdom and understanding, and we make them the chairs of our boards, and we put them on committees in Methodism because we need people who have spiritual guidance in their life. The Lord rescues us, it says, from every evil attack, and he brings us safely to his heavenly kingdom. So what this tells us is that it's not how far down the field you can run. If you only make it a yard, if you're with God, you'll enter heaven. If you make it 10 yards, you'll enter heaven. If you make it 50 yards, you'll enter heaven. No matter where you are on the journey, if you are running for God, you will make it. No matter where you think you may be going, God has a greater plan for us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to run the race and fight the good fight and rescue us. Lord, guide us in the life that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.